Send a movie idea.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can take as many as your film ideas as we like, but only one of them can take it through to the next stage. Can be taken through to the next stage. There's a next stage at some point. I mean, this bit's completely pointless. There is no next stage. We've been doing this for 6 years, 7 years this year. We've never got to the next stage. Maybe after 8 years we'll go to the next stage. Anyway, only one film idea can progress to the next stage where... We're seeing it through from development to production to release will be mine and John's only aim for 2024. This, I promise you. I'm Joel, a man who puts the yeah into New Year's resolutions. And across from me is John Harris, a man who last year promised to spend 5 minutes each day without his headphones in listening to podcasts so that he could hear his sons talk. And having failed that, has reassessed and is aiming for a more conservative 2 minutes a day in 2024. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. I think that's entirely reasonable.
I think it's very reasonable.
I don't see any issues here at all.
What have they got to say that's more interesting than they can squeeze into 2 minutes a day?
Look, I've told my partner once and twice and many times that if she wants me to hear from them, she needs to record them and put it on an RSS feed.
If she wants you to hear them, they need to put out The Rest Is Toddlers. Because you're working through so many Rest Is podcasts. It's getting too much, isn't it, John? Your entire life is The Rest Is now.
What is...
Every opinion, every thought, your inner monologue is dictated by things called The Rest Is. As soon as they launch a new one, you go straight away.
The Rest Is feels like an afterthought, right? And The Rest Is. I've not got the prethought anymore. It's all just The Rest Is.
The Rest Is.
I'm broken.
It's just the rest. You live in a world where everything is the rest of... But there isn't... You're right. There is no other thing. You just exist in the rest, which is ironic because you live a life where you don't get any rest.
Yeah, very good. Oh, dear.
It's good stuff, man. The Rest Is Rest will be, they'll release a sleep app.
That's not bad. You send
that's
that to
quite
the,
good, isn't it? They'll get some sort of doctor on board, one of those healthy living podcasts, and it'll be called The Rest Is Rest.
Yeah.
And that's actually a better title than 90% of their podcasts because it almost makes sense.
Right. Let's pitch some movie ideas.
Yes. How about this one from Danielle? Wanker. Timothy Chalamet tries to set up his first chocolate store at a London football stadium, only to receive haunting jeers that eventually run him out of the chocolate business.
Oh, is he doing them like little whistles and balls? Is that...
I think he's doing magical football-themed chocolates, and they're not being received very well by your matchday-going fan.
Because there's something quite... What's the word I'm looking for? What's like dainty and magical and...
Very twee, very relaxed, very calm, very very free of conflict and fear and terror.
I don't think, unless you go to these hipster London football clubs that are popping up, I don't think twee and football regularly go together.
No. No. It's not, I go most weekends and I wouldn't ever have described it as being quite twee.
Joel leaves his twee at the door. His whimsy. Was the word I was looking for.
Whimsy. Often I've been and I've tried to roll out a picnic blanket and have a little teapot and have a nice little time and I've taken my teddy bears and I wouldn't say it's been received well. So no, I can't imagine if you try to replace the typical concession at the football stadium with charming chocolates that I would, given current concourse prices for, say, a pint of Grolsch, I imagine a charming chocolate at the football would cost upwards of £25. Maybe, but maybe it's like an edible match day program. Maybe it's a scarf that you can eat.
Look, I'm obviously the wrong audience because I think this all sounds delightful, but then I am not a guy who goes to the football, so...
They should. Should they make football more delightful? I think so.
What about if he was the inventor of the power pod? There we go. For listeners very who good. Don't know...
This is where your interest in football peaks, isn't it?
Yeah. A microstar on everyone, a hero in your hand. They're the greatest players from the best teams in the land. For those who don't know, it was sort of like Kinder Eggs, but you'd get a big head, little football. I was going to say action figure, but it's not. It's just a statue, little plastic statue of a footballer.
Yeah.
The chocolate was bad. The football, the models didn't really look like the footballers. It was good stuff.
Can you remember the taste of the chocolate?
No. I'd imagine it was just generic plasticky chocolate, right?
Yeah. Do you know, I recently opened a suitcase, right, to pack for a holiday. And there was one thing in the suitcase, and it was a power pod of former striker Chris Sutton.
Okay.
In his Blackburn kit. Isn't that weird?
It's a bit weird.
Isn't that a weird thing to find in your suitcase? I left it in there, and now it's travelled hundreds of miles.
Is this like, were you at your family home, and did you nick a suitcase from them for this trip, or has this followed you through childhood to adult life?
It is a suitcase that I stole from my family home. It's not a family home that had particularly any interest in football, definitely no interest in Blackburn Rovers. And maybe it's been in the suitcase for a long time and I've only just spotted it. Maybe Chris Sutton's been with me for a decade.
Maybe in many ways he has, Joel.
Oh.
Also, on the, you know, when...
Who is your prize power pod?
Oh, God, I have no idea. The only footballer from that era that springs to mind is Fowler, just Robbie Fowler, just because he had a plaster in his nose and that was made him interesting.
That was quite interesting. That's why you're really into the rapper Nelly as well, isn't it?
Yeah. If you put a plaster on your face, I'm yours. That's what I told my partner the first night we met. On the subject of the... Danielle's brought wanker to the table. And if wanker isn't really an American word, because otherwise I would suggest that if you go onto certain adult websites, there is definitely something called wanker available to watch.
Oh, do you think they've done it?
They must
have. I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is already ripe, isn't it, for exploitation?
Yeah, and I just, let's not go too far into that, but, you know.
The word wanker not being particularly big in America, I remember it, because it's in an episode of The Simpsons.
Yes.
I think when they go to, I remember seeing that as a child and thinking it was the most shocking thing I'd ever seen in my life. And isn't there another one where Bart has like a mischievous kit that's called like Lil Bastard's joke kit or something. And I couldn't believe, I thought it was the most outrageous thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I used to watch, John, I used to watch The Simpsons with my grandparents in the room. And I think I've talked about these grandparents before. What, they're quite religious. One of them once made a complaint to Channel 4 because we were there for maybe a half term or something. And we watched an episode of Friends. And she counted the number of times that characters said, oh my God. And look, if it was an episode starring Janice, you're in trouble. So she counted the number of times someone said, oh my God. And then she wrote a formal letter of complaint to Channel 4 about how blasphemous Friends is.
That is absolutely incredible.
So imagine watching The Simpsons and one of them says wanker.
I like the idea of, you know how The Simpsons...
It's like putting on like The Hateful Eight or something in front of them. It's like putting on a... What's the other one?
That is
another Tarantino film with lots of bad... Like, it's like putting Pulp on a Tarantino Fiction, film with lots of
Reservoir
bad language.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like showing my grandma Reservoir Dogs.
The idea of Little Bastard as well, you know, The Simpsons is always predicting things. It sounds like they predicted like a SoundCloud rapper from about 4 years ago.
Yeah. Little Bastard is an English guy from Guildford trying to get on the SoundCloud rap train.
I would love that. Come on, that's great stuff.
A little scam. I'd really like that. That would be really fun.
Would you like a movie idea from me?
Yes, please.
This one comes from Beck. Bum Money. She's a play on Dumb Money.
I watched Dumb Money recently.
And
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, great.
I thought it was really good fun. It was, it just felt like a fun, smart film about finance, kind of Big Short vibes, but a little bit sillier. Mm. But I was kind of into it. I really liked it. Great cast. Now, what if it was all about making money from your bums? So Wall Street have got the monopoly on making bums. Wall Street decide who wins Rear of the Year every year.
Oh.
They pretend it's a public vote, but Wall Street have got it rigged. And so they determine who wins Rear of the Year. As we all know, there's £1 billion prize for winning Rear of the Year. And they make sure that it's somebody in the pocket of Wall Street that wins it every year. A guy on Reddit gets word that this is what Wall Street are doing to Rear of the Year every year. And he nominates himself. He's got a hilariously flat bum. He's got no bum. He nominates himself to become Rear of the Year, and it starts a huge internet campaign to make sure that he wins Rear of the Year and receives the £1 billion prize, which he's promised to share with all of the good people have read it.
All the good people have read it.
Yeah, they're all good people.
I love that. Imagine if there was in this alternate universe where there was genuinely a £1 billion prize for Rear of the Year, I think most of the population would just be constantly squatting.
We'd just be squatting all the time. You'd leave your house and everyone would be hunched, like just walking around like crabs. It'd be the new lottery. It'd be so good. I am. You know how you used to hear stories that they would spot models outside Topshop on Oxford Street? Yeah. People would just be walking around Oxford Street with their asses out. I am, which you can see if you go to Oxford Street at the right time of day. They stopped Rear of the Year, right?
I was going to say that feels quite archaic.
But that means if you were the last winner of Rear of the Year, you're Rear of forever.
Can you find out who the final Rear of the Year is?
I'm just going to my bookmarks. So it was at, wow.
No.
I could give you, so it ran from 1976 to 2019. Interestingly, there was a 5-year gap after 76 to 81. So Barbara Windsor held it for 5 years. Fair play.
After Barbara Windsor, they couldn't.
That's like when you look at football records and there's a break for the Second World War. Like, what is the reason for that? They've held Rear of the Year every year until 2019 from 1981. But for some reason, between 76, they couldn't find a better rear than Windsor. Maybe you can't win it more than once.
I was just going to try and see if there's some repeat offenders.
There aren't any repeat offenders. Are you on the page?
I am on the page, sorry. So I've seen the final male winner.
You've seen the final. So I assume in a bid to make it more equal, in 1997, they made it so that every year there's a male and a female winner of Rear of the Year. And in the first year, for example, it was Melinda Messenger and Gary Barlow in 97. Other winners, 89 and 90 and 95, there was also no competition. But I think Rear of the Year is so low rent, they probably just forgot. But there's a really famous apocryphal tale where I'm from. So in the Medway towns, Rochester was a city, right? And it has been a city for hundreds of years. It's had a cathedral for 1,000 years, and it's always been a city. And then like in 2007, they just forgot to submit the paperwork to renew its status as a city. And now it's not a city anymore.
That is incredible.
So I reckon it got to like December the 29th in 1989. And they were like, oh, fuck, we haven't done Rear of the Year. And they just forgot. I reckon that's pretty feasible. Anyway, the listeners are on the edge of their seats. They want to know who's going to hold the title of Rear of the Year forever. So in 2019...
Go on. Edwards, who set this up? Someone called Edwards. I'm trying to find the name. Was a way to promote a specific brand of jeans. But the Wikipedia page doesn't tell us what brand of jeans. Just... like, that's lost to history.
That's not a very good promotion, is it? Yeah. That's arguably the worst promotion you could ever have done. It's just promoted jeans, which they are still going strong. I wonder if there's been a dip in sales of jeans since 2019. Anyway, it looks to me like maybe only Carol Vorderman's won it more than once.
Okay.
Fair play. But that's only a very cursory glance. I'll consult my Rear of the Year calendar after this and let you know. So, 2019, the final ever Rear of the Year, which I imagine was maybe like a wake, both a celebration, but also a time for remembering, you know, like a strange event. 2019, Amanda Holden picked it up, and she was accompanied, I assume, on stage by the male Rear of the Year winner in 2019, Sir Andy Murray. The tennis player Andy Murray will be Rear of the Year from now until the sun destroys planet Earth.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Forever. When records look back on Andy Murray, you know, they say that you die twice, right? When you actually die, and then when someone last speaks your name. Andy Murray's sorted. They will never not stop talking about who the current Rear of the Year is.
Can I also say, on the Wikipedia page, there's a bit at the bottom that says similar contests, and one of them is an annual contest in Brazil to choose the best female buttocks in the country, which is called Miss Bum Bum.
And knowing what I do about Brazilian culture, and it's not very much, I reckon that's still going.
Miss Bum Bum.
It also says in 2013, a University of Cambridge newspaper held its own version of the award in which the contestants were naked.
Yeah. Different time 10 years ago.
Yep. 2013. It was a different time.
It's been a very bum-heavy episode so far.
It has been a very bum-heavy episode. Can we get rid of that? How about this suggestion from Nathan? Perky Jackson. So it's about a magical kid with a really per ass.
No.
Perky Jacksy. That's good stuff. Perky Jackson. Yeah. Percy Jackson is a young adult phenomenon which has passed me by.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's like the post Harry Potter one that did pretty well, right? I think that's the way to sort of see it.
Yes, and there was a film that didn't do very well.
Yep.
And I think it was going to be one of these seven film things. It was maybe two films. See also The Maze Runner. I couldn't tell you anything other than those three words about The Maze Runner.
I think, yeah, The Maze Runner, and then there was The Scorch Trials, and then there was a Divergent. Do you remember? Was it Divergent? And apparently that's like a world where everyone's sort of split up based on vague abilities that they have or something.
There was a point a few years ago where I was reading quite a few graphic novels. I'd read The Boys, I read a really good series called Chew, and a couple of the like classic ones. And a family member got wind of this, maybe my nan or someone, and they thought it'd be good to buy me a graphic novel. And they bought me like the fourth Maze Runner.
As a graphic novel or just as a book?
Yeah, as a graphic novel.
Oh, maybe they are graphic novels and I just didn't know that.
No, I think they're books. Oh. I think they're books, films, into... I don't know. You know how these things work sometimes. Yeah.
And?
Anyway, haven't read it. I mean, it'd be mad. I'd have absolutely no context for what's going on. I didn't have the desire to buy the three preceding Maze Runners. Maybe they're great. Maybe we should watch... Maybe our new podcast idea, John, could be me and you watching the Maze Runner films.
Great stuff.
It's sad to think, isn't it? Because I reckon if you get cast in Percy Jackson or The Maze Runner or something, you think, and you're obviously going to be told by the casting director, by the producer, this is the next Harry Potter. You're going to be in seven movies. They're going to make £10 billion and you're going to have wealth beyond your wildest dreams forever and ever. And then they absolutely tank. So Will Poulter's in Maze Runner.
He's also in...
As is that Thomas Brodie Sangster guy.
Yeah, the casts are always pretty good in these, because they're getting the young hot actors who then sort of turn out to be older but still hot actors.
It's a trilogy.
Joel.
There's a third one.
I think I've actually come up with an incredible idea to sort of jumping off the back of yours. So we call it Young Adults, right? Because that's what they're all young adults. They're YA novels. That's what they're all adaptations of.
What we do is
we watch the ones that exist and then we have to guess what happens in the film that they didn't make.
That's great. That is a really good idea.
Put it on the pile.
Well, you've got a busy year, John. This is the year we promised. You remember we were going to make all of our spin-off podcasts this year.
All I can remember is Pie Guys.
Pie Guys is really good. Watch each American Pie film and eat a pie each time. There was a couple of other really good ones, man. If anyone can remember, let us know.
One's about books, isn't it? Oh, yeah, one's about the Dan Brown books. Mr. Brown's books. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Brown's Boys. That's really good. A read-along podcast with the Dan Brown books. These are every time these come up, I say they are so much better than this. They are like, we could genuinely be a smash hit if we did Mr. Brown's Boys. We could be a smash hit.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right.
If you're not up for it, I'm going to find another co-host. Mr. Brown's Boys is the greatest podcast idea of all time.
Right. What about this one from Martin? Steampunk Willie. A road and boat pilot finds love in old tech whilst trying to avoid the lunatic captain. This is sort of relevant to the fact that Steampunk Willie is now public domain. So whatever we come up with can legally be made without
Disney. We can actually
Disney.
Make it. Immediately it had become overly sexual.
It was...
What's that rule on the internet? There's a rule that
42?
If something exists, There's a porn version of it.
Yeah.
That's just what happened with Steamboat Willie.
Which is also, I mean, what applies. Name. Which is also what applies to Wanker earlier in this chat.
It's very true.
Yeah, and then so within about, within like, so it was on the 1st of January that Steamboat Willie became public domain, that version of Mickey Mouse. And on that day was released a trailer for a horror video game where you're followed by Mickey Mouse, and a horror film where the villain is that Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse.
But it happened with Winnie the Pooh a little while ago, and there was a horror film about Winnie the Pooh. But it quickly goes away, doesn't it?
But do you think we could make a couple quid if we got, look, Jed, we know Jed, he could help us out. Mm-hmm. And we just find out the next... I actually saw him tweet the other day, do not make a horror film out of Steamboat Willie. So he might not be on board. But we just find the next thing that comes to public domain, make a horror film about it, and put that trailer up the second it goes...
Things in public domain.
2024.
Okay, here we go. Tigger.
Tigger's scary.
Tigger's quite scary. He could bounce. The bounce could be quite terrifying. So this is very exciting. 2024, Tigger. A Marx Brothers film, All Quiet on the Western Front, goes into public domain next year.
Great! So that's horrible.
We could work with that. Yeah, I'm kind of into this.
Yeah. Noddy. Not Noddy.
I think Noddy might go into the public domain this year.
Oh, come on. Noddy's scary as it is.
The Noddy theme tune is so ripe to be turned into like a slowed down child singing.
Let's do it.
Horror fest.
Noddy, the little man with the red and yellow car.
Yep.
Perfect, let's do it.
I'm all over that.
Why is it red?
Done.
Hey, it used to be just yellow.
Yeah, until he smashed through those guys that fall down and come back up again. Hey, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
Hootenanny McPhee. It's December the 31st and Jules Holland falls ill. And the magical Emma Thompson has to fly in and save the day by hosting the Hootenanny. Or the UK will be stuck in the year 2023 forever.
Right,
Jules Holland is actually, he's like the Sandman. He actually is the master of time. And he decides when it becomes the new year in the UK.
I love the stakes. I love the idea that, how does that work? Is it Groundhog Day style? Do you go back to the 1st of January of that year? Or do you keep replaying the last day of the year? Or does it just go to like midnight and then it just sort of continues ticking in December the 31st, lasts forever?
Oh, whoa, that's terrifying. I actually think it's just a 10-second countdown.
That would be maddening.
That'd be a good film.
And I mean, also, Emma Thompson, look, with all the due respect to Jules Holland, who I know is a very close friend of yours, Joel.
Yes, he is my best friend.
Emma Thompson could do a very good job of hosting that show. She'd be a wonderful stand-in.
I think she'd be phenomenal. Yeah.
So I rate that. How many of your family members were in the audience this year, Joel?
Dad and stepmom are in the audience. I have to be honest with you. So as we've established over the years, my stepmom is a cleaner for Jules Holland, housekeeper kind of role. And she wore a too shiny a jacket.
Oh, I'll have with you.
It was done on purpose. They went with a couple of friends who went last year, and one of the friends wore the pinkest thing you've ever seen in your life. And you could see it from space. Like somehow, no matter who was on screen or who the act was or which way they were facing, you were aware of the pink jacket. It was like you were being haunted by it. Even if the camera was pointing in completely the opposite direction, you were just so aware of this pink jacket's presence in the audience. So I think my stepmom had a similar ploy this year to make sure, you know, you could be spotted at all times. And she did a good job. I reckon I saw her 7 or 8 times during the broadcast, which might be about as many times as you see Rod Stewart. So fair play.
Also, when Joel says pink, I think he sort of doesn't explain. It's like that sort of pink that you have on reflective clothing that sort of maintenance people wear.
It'd be funny to wear something like that and then be asked to leave, wouldn't it? If you turned up in full luminous gear. No, stayed in, watched the Hootenanny on New Year's Eve.
Oh, lovely.
Excellent. Hey, John, let's have a film idea from you. John.
Rebel Spoon. Zack Snyder does Star Wars, but the lightsabers are spoons now.
Yes, good. Have you watched Rebel Moon?
I watched 4 minutes of it the other day.
Wow. Is that a childcare thing and you plan on watching 4 minutes every day, or is it bad? Can you make your mind up about a film in 4 minutes?
No, it's not. It was absolutely not a fair assessment of this film. I can't remember why. Some sort of screaming child incident took place, and then I've just never got around to watching more.
But it is bad, right? I think it's considered bad.
Yeah.
It's been pretty panned, I think.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people were... I think it was fair to say that even though he's divisive, you know, people love 300 at the time. Some people like Watchmen. And so they thought, oh, this is, you know, Zack Snyder without the Warner Brothers reins doing, you know, his own vision completely sort of unfettered. So people, I think people were genuinely excited. I was really intrigued, but yeah, I think it looks pretty, you know, even those people who were excited are saying, no, this is not good. It's not just like a, you know, lots of people on the internet will just say, oh, it's, you know, anti-Snyder rhetoric. But I genuinely think people wanted to like this film and didn't.
He's played a blinder calling it part one, though.
Well, no.
I wonder how much he insisted on calling it part one. Does part two already exist?
Yeah. It comes out in like May. And also, he's got a director's cut that also comes, like he's made on that Netflix, man. A streaming platform. He has made a theatrical in inverted commas version, and he will then release a director's cut. It's nuts.
What he should have done is called it Rebel Moon Part 1 of 9. That's what I would have done. If I was really nervous about Netflix cancelling my... And obviously Netflix, they're quick to swing the axe, right?
Mm.
They've cancelled so many series. I would just call my show Part 1 of 9.
Like epilogue. No,
Netflix have commissioned my show. Prologue, yeah.
I love it.
Torchwood & Co. Series 1 of 9 is what I would have insisted it was called.
But then to sort of, you know...
No, Lockwood & Co. I don't know what the things are called. I don't know. I'm not... I don't know what TV
to throw
is.
A cat amongst the pigeons, you sort of, every time it changes, so it'll be series 2 of 12, series 3 of 11.
Yeah, keep them on their toes. Oh, good stuff. Hey, John, if you had to pick a winner from today's lineup, what would you go for and why?
Bum Money, because it brought us to rear of the year.
Bum Money, and we have to leave because Andy Murray is entering my office. Ask first. Ah, well done, John.
Well done, Joe. How you been?
Happy New Year. Did you have a nice time?
I had a nice time recording.
I think it's, I had a lovely time recording.
It's probably the most fun I've had in the last 2 days of this year.
Yeah. So you're doing the potty training.
So yeah.
What does it entail? How does it work? Why is it so stressful?
New Year, new me. They never specified that you had to be a better version of yourself. This new me is sad and stressed. It's like. Potty training is just like the worst thing. It's so bad. You're basically living with a child who could at any moment piss themselves. Just the anxiety of... I mean, it goes without saying, sort of. But yeah, the anxiety of that is quite intense. So yeah, I would say my second child, just let them wear nappies till they're sort of 7 or 8. And hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair fine. That won't mess them up in any other way, will it?
I don't think so. It'd be like one of those stories you read every now and again about a kid that's still breastfeeding when they're 13. And they're always very well adjusted.
That's what they say. Yeah, the incredibly well-adjusted Sam.
That's the headline. Britain's most well-adjusted boy. Still breastfeeding at 15.
Oh, dear.
Who needs friends? : Meet Britain's most well-adjusted boy. Subtitle, who's still breastfeeding at the age of 15. There you go.
Yeah, so it's just very
stressful.
So
other than potty training, have you had any time to experience anything or do anything or, you know, watch more than 4 minutes of a film?
Not really. Christmas is very much about looking after children. So not massively. In the moments I've had, I've watched 2 of the episodes of What If, which is the Marvel animated show about like alternate dimensions. If this, you know, what if this happened on this? And the 2 episodes I saw were really good. Apparently it's much better than the first series. I'm definitely getting a sense of that. It's still only for like real sort of Marvel kids. I wouldn't say it's for like your casual sort of Marvel person, but it's still good. And then I watched the first episode of a show that, again, animated. I'm not generally a big animated person, but I watched Blue-Eyed Samurai on Netflix, the first episode of that, which has been getting sort of rave reviews everywhere. And yeah, I really enjoyed
it. That.
It looks beautiful. Have you been consuming any media over the festive period, Joe?
I have been playing the video game Dredge, and I've been really enjoying it. It was on quite a few people's games of the year lists, and I'm very excited to play it for 5 hours and add it to a frankly overwhelming graveyard of darling indie games on my Switch that I haven't completed. And every time I open my Switch, they're all looking at me like, well, you're going to finish us. We're only 10 hours long. And then I buy a new one instead. And they're all games that I've had a great time playing. And I buy a new one because it's only 15 quid. So I buy a new one because I want the thrill of a new one instead of the sense of completing any of these games that are all, I admit, fantastic. So anyway, I bought Dredge. Dredge is great. I'm really enjoying playing Dredge. And I watched Saltburn.
Right. On Dredge, I also have a copy of Dredge Downs. I bought it physical, special edition. I have a copy of it waiting for me to play, but I have not started. And you are completely right. The achievement feeling of purchasing a new game is far superior to any achievement you can get from within the game.
100%.
I love it. The excitement of thinking at some point I might play this game for a bit. I'm honestly looking at double figures of games that are like fantastically well reviewed and are, you know, all the websites say 12 hours to complete. And I've just not finished any. What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me?
Right.
Why doesn't it... And it doesn't nag at me. I don't understand it.
Talk to me about Saltburn. People have thoughts and opinions.
I honestly, when it finished, I genuinely couldn't separate from my mind whether I'd enjoyed it or whether it was fucking shit. Like, I had no idea what to make of it. And it has been... The reaction to it, I think, is like the most divided I can remember seeing over any film. Like, it seems to me like some people think it's a masterpiece and some people really, really hate it. And I felt, look, after all, don't we all just want to be part of the discourse? I was glad to have watched it so that I knew what was going on and what Saltburn is. It's free to watch on Amazon Prime. So if you're curious, go and watch it. It's got a stellar cast. It looks fantastic. The soundtrack's great. Like, it really genuinely, I think it looks amazing. Like, shot beautifully and it looks incredible. But I didn't, at the end of it, I just sort of left feeling like, well, Why is any of that? What was any of that?
I don't know.
It's hard to describe.
I feel like it is a continuation of this Indiana Jones thing where, like, nothing can just be like a fun couple of hours. It has to be the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever. But
yeah.
I also saw a tweet that I thought was really funny, and it does seem to sort of sum up your feelings a little bit, which is, director Emerald Fennell is too good to be working with writer Emerald Fennell.
Yeah, that might be right. I watched Promising Young Woman and that left me pretty cold as well. So I don't know. Maybe I don't really chime with it. Maybe, John, maybe they're all just too posh. That was sort of an overriding feeling I had during the film as well.
Oh, well.
If there's a certain level of posh that I just can't even if bad things are happening to them, I can't stand to be around them. So maybe that's part of it.
Maybe who
knows?
I'm posher than you, so maybe I'll be more prone to
maybe you'll
this.
Love it, but you might recognize some of the sort of the houses and the behaviors and the ceremonies. You'll probably feel right at home. It might actually be 2 hours of slumming it for you, John. So yeah, I watched Saltburn. I don't know what I think of it. I'd love to hear other people's opinions of Saltburn. I guess I would get people to go and watch it. It's interesting. Like, it's a big deal, isn't it? It's got a big cast. It was obviously released in time for awards contention, I reckon. So I think it'll be one of the big talked about movies.
For sure.
It's got a few nominations, I think. Well, the Golden Globes has got a few nominations.
Yeah, I think the most likely nomination to sort of continue through is Rosamund Pike, apparently, is very, very, very good in it.
She's amazing, right? She's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so intrigued to watch that. Oh, no, intrigued to see how that pans out and if it stays part of the chat. But it's award season. There's loads going on. You know, I'm excited to be absolutely devastated by that new Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal film, which is like a ghost story that, you know, it's going to destroy my brain. And also very excited to watch Poor Things.
I thought you were going to say...
all sorts of stuff, John. American Fiction. There's good stuff coming out.
Oh,
I'm
American
watch
Fiction
it.
Looks great. When you said I'm looking forward to being devastated by, I thought you were going to talk about Iron Claw, which I've heard is very, very sad.
Looking forward to being devastated by Iron Claw. Look, it's January.
Let's get
started. If anything, January's too positive a month. I need to be brought down. I need to be brought down a bit by Oscar bait. Let's have it. Anyway, well done, John. This is quite a long one.
I know. Bumper episode.
You're really putting off going back to potty training, aren't you? Anything else you want to talk about, John?
So the weather, eh? It's cold.
Oh, God, it is cold. Yeah, bloody hell. Right.
Right.
We'll be back same time next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.